I want to talk today about testing. I'm not talking about SATs or anything like that. We'll look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 13. And it says there, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Mashiach's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." And in Genesis 22:1, it says that it came about after these things that Elohim tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Hineni, here I am." What was Yahweh thinking anyway? He finally fulfilled the promise he had made to Abraham so many years ago, and now he is directing Abraham to go out and offer the promised son up as a burnt offering. What was the whole point of that? Abraham is known as the friend of Yahweh, according to James 2:23. And if this is how God treats his friends, boy, then just exactly to where do we stand in the whole scheme of things? Exodus 16:4, "Then Yahweh said to Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether or not they will walk in my instructions." So here we see that Yahweh gave the manna not just to provide for their physical nourishment, but he provided for them in such a way that he tested them, the whole nation of Israel. This seems to be the only sure way of determining whether a person will truly keep Torah. Manna was a physical blessing to his people from the hand of God. Yahweh designed this blessing to test his people besides meeting their daily food requirements. Yahweh tested them in this manner to see if they would walk in his Torah. Shemot 20:20, Exodus 20:20, Moses said to the people, "Don't be afraid. For Elohim has come in order to test you, in order that the fear of him may remain with you, so that you may not sin." Here we learn one of the core reasons why it is that God tests his people. He tests us so that we will not sin against him by remaining in fear of him. In our Western society where we live, it is sadly doubtful that we understand the true concept of the fear of God. I mean, I had a fear of God that I knew as a child, and I carried that into adulthood. So that's what kept me away from the synagogue. I didn't want to meet that God again. I was really afraid of him because I did a lot of bad things. But that's not what y'all teach in your institutions that I started going to, because there they teach that Elohim is like a big sugar daddy, and that we should just talk to him as we would anyone else, asking and expecting to receive everything we want. And that's the kind of God I was looking for. I wanted to find a God that would just do that for me. Man. But this passage of Scripture teaches us that he tests us so that the fear of him will remain with us. This is something that we don't want to lose. If we lose it, what follows is sin. And of course, that would not be good for us, would it? Deuteronomy 8, verses 2 and 16 through 18 say, "And you shall remember all the way which God your Elohim has led you into the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. In the wilderness he fed you manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good for you in the end. Otherwise you may say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand made me this wealth. But you shall remember Yahweh your Elohim, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant which he swore to your forefathers, as it is to this day." Yahweh is in the business of revealing what is in hearts. When he holds a mirror up to us, often it's not a pleasant being that's being confronted with the darkness inside of us. However, he does these things so that in the end, he can do good for us and in us also. The good that he desires to do is to form us into the image of his Son, Yeshua, yeah. Our Messiah. If we were never tested, how would we know if we truly keep his commandments or not? It's easy to say that we will keep his commandments. Anyone could say, yeah, I'm going to keep his commandments. Sure, no problem. Do it all the time. But are we willing to pay the price and actually keep his commandments even during the hard times? When he brings us into trials, it brings out the true answer to the question, and it is an answer that no one can deny. 1 Chronicles 29:17. Since I know, my Elohim, that you try the heart and delight in uprightness, I, in the integrity of my heart, have willingly offered all these things. So now with joy, I have seen your people who are present here make their offerings willingly to you. Yahweh tests the hearts of those who belong to him. He wants us to be worthy of being his people. In order for this to actually come to pass, there are things in our hearts that need to be removed. However, before he can remove them, he needs to reveal them to us. Job 7:18. What is man that you magnify him, or that you are concerned about him, that you examine him every morning and test him every moment? God is in the business of testing. He's our great big proctor in the sky. Each and every person needs to get that truth solidly in your mind and in your heart. It's important to understand this dynamic of the spiritual realm. For when one does understand it, it will strengthen that person tremendously and move him toward more spiritual maturity. Psalm 26:2. Examine me, Yahweh, and try me. Test my heart and my mind. Have we gotten to the place where we actually ask God to try and test us? If not, why not? If one is relatively new in his walk, that would be understandable. I don't want to test. However, if we've been walking with Yahweh for a long time, and I mean years, then shouldn't we be asking him to test us and examine us? Testing is so important in the life of a believer, for the one being tested will progress into spiritual maturity. Is spiritual maturity important to you? Well, it should be. Psalm 94:12, blessed is the man whom you chasten, Yahweh, and teach out of your Torah. Being tried and tested or chastened by Yahweh is one of his primary ways of teaching us to walk in his Torah. This is where the righteous character of a person's life gets hammered out on the anvil of adversity. One reason why it is such a blessing to be tried and tested of Yahweh is that it better equips us to obey Torah. Here's a verse that we almost read today. It was close to where we were. Zechariah 13, verse 9. We only read till verse 5. And I will bring the third part through the fire, refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people, and they will say, Yahweh is my Elohim. As silver and gold melts in the refining process, all the impurities float to the surface. After easily scraping off the impurities of the surface, one can discard them. Likewise, in the life of a believer, Yahweh puts us in the crucible of trials, tribulations, tests, and adversities of life to melt us. This is where the impurities of one's character come to the surface for all to see, particularly the believer himself. Then that person must make a decision. Will the tested person just ignore the impure character trait and push them back under the surface? Or will the tested one bring these impurities into complete and total subjection to the set-apart spirit, doing with them as he commands? Hebrews 12:7. It is for discipline that you endure. Yahweh deals with you as with sons, for what is there whom his father does not discipline? What son is there whom his father does not discipline? When a person repents or accepts Yeshua as his Messiah and his Savior, it is only the beginning of a relationship. That person then needs to mature in his walk with Mashiach. Testing brings maturity into the relationship with Yahweh. He tests his children. If Yahweh is not testing a person, then does that person truly belong to God? Scripture seems to indicate that he is not his child if he is not testing him. The book of Yaakov or James, chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Consider it all joy. Do you ever consider all these problems you have in your life joy? Knowing that the testing of faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Do you have a lack in your life? Are you perfect? Are you able to have joy in the trials of life? If not, then what you need to have is your faith tested. When we let the tests and the trials of life produce a righteous work in us, then we will be perfect. The perfection spoken of here is not an absolute one, but rather one of function. Take, for example, a well-used chair or stool. It has many scratches and dings and imperfections. The purpose of this chair is to hold a person in a sitting position, right? Without his falling down. In spite of all the imperfections, flaws, scratches, nicks, and dings in the finish of this chair, so long as it functions, it fulfills the purpose of his existence perfectly. In this sense, the chair is perfect. Likewise, we too can be perfect before God when we fulfill the purpose of our existence, i.e. to love and worship God and his people, and to have communion with him through keeping his Torah. Thus, the command of Yeshua gave to us to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect in Matthew 5:48. Is only possible when seen in this way. We are to be perfect in the sense of fulfilling the purpose for which he originally created us. Romans 5, verses 3 through 5. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope, and hope does not disappoint because the love of Elohim has been poured out within our hearts through the set-apart Spirit who was given to us. In many ways and in many places, Scripture commands us to be people of good character. Here we see how this comes to pass. The trials and adversities of life ultimately help us develop patience. Romans 5:3, James 1:3. Patience then forms these positive traits in our lives. 2 Peter 4:12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you which comes upon you for your testing as though some strange things were happening to you. We are not to view these intense times of testing as something strange. Rather, we're to view these as common among the Talmudim of Yeshua the Messiah. This is a common thing among us. James 1:13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by Elohim. For Elohim cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. God never tempts us to sin. That's the territory of Satan. That's his job. And although Satan must obey God in everything he does, it is only Satan who tempts us. However, we can be sure that any time God tests us, Satan will be there to tempt us. Because temptation is the part of every trial. For this reason, we need to be spiritually alert to distinguish what is a temptation and what is a test so we can act appropriately. Matthew 16, 21 through 23. From that time, Yeshua HaMashiach began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised up on the third day. And Kepha, Peter, took him aside, and he began to rebuke him, saying, Elohim forbid, Master, this shall never happen to you. But he turned and said to Kepha, Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, and for you are not setting your mind on Elohim's interests, but man's. Please note that it was Kepha, or Peter, to whom Yeshua spoke those very strange words of rebuke. Kepha did not have his mind on what God was doing, but rather he was thinking of only of his personal interests at the time. There are times when we are working to build his kingdom, and Hasatan will come and speak to us through well-meaning people, people that are actually part of his kingdom, like Kepha. The words that they speak can be a cause of stumbling for us if we do not properly guard our gates and test their words against Scripture and the still small voice. Testing draws us closer to God, at least it should. In contrast, when one gives into temptation, which is sin, one becomes separated from our Heavenly Father. Interestingly, both testing and temptation can come through people we know and meet. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man, and Elohim is faithful, who will allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. Temptation needs to be distinguished from tribulations, persecutions, trials, and troubles, and suffering, and testing. When a believer enters a test, Yahweh is trying to teach that person the truth. When a person does not learn the truth he is teaching him in the test, it will ensure that he must repeat the test. Considering the short length of one's life, how can we afford to miss what he is trying to teach us? We don't have enough time. However, with each test comes the adversary, Satan, to tempt the believer to fail the test, to tempt him to be disobedient to Yahweh. Learning to recognize the test early on will not only speed the learning process, but will also shorten the test as well as the lesson, and will lessen the chance of succumbing to a temptation. When one knows what the way of escape refers to, it will open up the understanding of the previous verse. Notice that the way is not plural and is preceded by the definite article, the, indicating that there is only one way, the way. The question then comes to mind, what is the way of escape? John 14:6, Yeshua said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. John 14:6 states that Yeshua is the way. The way of escape is Yeshua. The way is not a what, but rather a who. And that who is Yeshua Messiah, who was tempted in all things like we are, but was victorious through them all. He overcomes sin. He knows how to lead us to victory. Hebrews 5:8-9, although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became all to all those who obey him, the source of eternal salvation. A person can only find everyday victory over his troubles in Yeshua. Yeshua is the only person who was ever able to resist temptation and sin. He is the only one who can help us not to sin, which is breaking Torah. When temptation comes, whatever the form, Yeshua will not allow the one to be tempted beyond his level of spiritual maturity. Not only this, but he has already been tempted in all things, and he knows how to help people in that hour of need. The temptation believers are dealing with has plagued all of mankind. That common temptation is to not obey God, but obey him each person must choose to do out of love for him. This is where the spiritual battle is the fiercest in the life of the follower of Yeshua. Matthew 7:13-14 says, Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are very few who find that. The way that leads to eternal life is not a very well-traveled road. The path to eternal life is narrow, and one must learn to overcome numerous trials upon this way. Notice that when the word narrow in the Greek word is thlibo, T-H-L-I-B-O, which means to afflict or trouble. So this is saying that the way of life is full of afflictions and trouble. This is not a common message for today. You're not going to hear it too many places. The Hebrew translation agrees with this definition, but with an even stronger word in the Peshitta text, the word alitza is found in the text, which means to press close, pressed earnestly, urge strongly, compel, force, straighten up, hem in, closely besiege, oppress, afflict, torment by crushing, and narrow place. Boy, those are real thin words. 1 Peter 1:15-16 says, "But like the set-apart one who called you, be set apart yourselves also in all your behavior. Because it is written, 'You shall be set apart, for I am set apart.' How can we expect to be truly set apart in everything that we do unless we allow all the adversities of life to have their good result and we become perfect in our lives? How is this possible? Only in this way," Galatians 5:16 says, "But I say, walk by the set apart spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." So we must learn to walk in the set apart spirit day by day, moment by moment. We must learn to hear and distinguish that still small voice in our spirit so that when we do hear it, we obey it instinctively. This narrow, afflicted path, well, guess what? It takes practice. But when we live it this way, we do not carry out our fleshly desires. How long will the testing of the set-apart ones continue? Well, 1 Peter 5:12-13, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Mashiach's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." The English word revealed is the Hebrew word galut. Please note that this testing of believers will continue until the physical revelation of Yeshua at the end of the millennium. "These things came come upon the disciples of Yeshua that they might share in the sufferings of Mashiach for their own refinement." So let's remember that a particular circumstances that we find ourselves in at any given moment are only transitory. They're just temporary things. They will change. What will not change is God. God does not change. One of the things that testing instills in us is the ability to hear his voice clearly so that we listen to that still small voice rather than listening to and allowing circumstances to dictate our actions. This is a constant challenge for all of us to do, especially when circumstances are pressing in upon us and demanding that we do things in an expedient way. It's always a tough time for us to try and turn ourselves over to God. This is precisely the time, though, that it is critical to listen to him and to obey his voice. This is exactly the position that Abraham found himself in Genesis 22. The pressure, the test to do other than obey his voice had to have been at its pinnacle in his life. Furthermore, the price of obedience in this instance had all the markings of being very high. Likewise, when we find ourselves in circumstances that are difficult, do we take the easy way, what the circumstances are dictating, or do we listen to the sound of his voice? Okay, let me give you the purposes of testing of the set-apart ones to see if we will walk in Torah. To have the fear of God that we may not sin. To know what is in our heart. To humble us. To call upon his name and to be his people. To discipline us. To be perfected in him. To instill righteous character traits in us. To have endurance. And to have eternal life. In essence, Testing prepares us for an eternal part of the kingdom of God. As we enter into this new millennium, it is more important to know and understand these truths so that we may be a part of his kingdom as it is set up here on earth. Matthew 13, 18 through 23 says, "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. And the one on whom seed was sown on the rocky place, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but it is temporary. And when our affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it become unfruitful. And the one on whom seed was sown on good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Verse 21 was the root, has no root in himself, but is temporary. When affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately falls away. Notice that the affliction that this person has experienced is directly due to the presence of the word in his life. But alas, he falls away from the true faith. The indication here is that he is falling away because he was not willing to submit to God in the affliction and allow the trouble to perfect him in his faith. Rather, his faith informed him to expect to have smooth sailing all the way into heaven. However, is that what the scripture promises us? Because he did not have as good an understanding as those who had prepared their hearts to be good soil, the man of the second kind of seed was only a temporary believer from the very beginning. May the seed of his word fall upon good soil in our hearts and give an increase and for his kingdom. I've always believed that there is no pain. If there is no pain, there's no gain. I mean, when you go to a gym and you start working out and you haven't moved your muscles in quite a while, your muscles start aching, don't they? But if you keep doing it, if you keep going back, the pain eventually goes away. And then you start feeling good. And then you start gaining. So no pain, no gain. Hashem takes us through much to get us where he wants us. Believe me, we don't merrily skip down the yellow brick road in this life to get there, but we end up trudging down the road of happy destiny. It's probably a better word to say. To Adonai, it's not the destination that matters. He doesn't care a whit about the destination. To him, it's the journey that you're on that matters to him. He looks at how you do it, and he rejoices when he sees you walking on that road and going through those trials and tribulations and coming out on top of those. It's just amazing. And believe me, there is a lot of pain involved. It is really hard. May God cause us to increase our faith and our maturity in Yeshua HaMashiach, that we may be true kingdom builders to his glory and honor. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Amen. Thank you.